Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
No man is an island entirely of himself. Every man is a piece of a continent, a part of the main. No man or no woman is an island. We all need community to thrive. We need each other. We can't live on our own. We can't be hermits, go and live in caves. We need each other. We need people. Maslow's hierarchy of needs places love, relationship, and friendship as the most significant need that we have above, after our very basic needs of shelter, warmth, security, and safety. So above success, above anything like that, we need relationship. And if we get those round the wrong way, our lives start to crumble because we've not put the priorities right. We need relationship. Unfortunately, as a nation, this isn't going to work. Might need some new batteries at some stage. Ah, there we go. Look at that. Unfortunately, as a nation, we're lonelier than we have been before. Now, we could just blame social media. It's all social media's fault, but I think there's various reasons why we're lonelier than before. In September 2018, an article in The Economist said that 5% of people experience loneliness that is a major problem for them. A further 11% they reckon is experience loneliness that's a minor problem. It's still causing. So that means 3 out of every 20 people. So think about your neighbours. Think who lives around you. That means 3 of 20 people experience loneliness. And obviously that will vary from place to place. But church is a great place where you can find community. It's a great place where people come together, where you find relationship, where you feel that there's something you can be part of. A few years ago, Kate and I helped to run a New Year's Eve party at Hope Church when we were there. It had never been done before, but we had this. From our own experience, we realised that New Year's Eve is not always the easiest thing to get invited to. You're either part of some people who do the same thing every year, or you fall outside of that. And sometimes it can be a time when you feel, oh, well, we're just going to sit at home and watch whoever it is, Jules Holland, and think, this is rubbish, why do I do this every year? Anyone else had that experience? Anyone else do that? So we decided, let's run a New Year's Eve party. And it was a great success. We had so many people come. But I can remember one lady just turned up. We didn't know who she was. No one seemed to have any connection with her. And she turned up and she was just blown away by the whole thing. She was blown away by the friendship, by the food, by the fun. And the next day was a Sunday, actually, and she was there. And ever since, she's been there probably almost every Sunday. Her life was changed. She saw something of community, and she was so drawn in and said, hey, I want to be part of this. And her life has changed, and she's still at Hope now, which is great, isn't it? People find friendship and relationship and a place in church. And the reason for this is because it's Jesus. In our passage, we heard in verse 14, it was speaking about Jesus removed the barriers. He removed those things that keep us apart. He removed them. And verse 18, it's only through him. It's no special access. There's no, hey, you're on the VIP list. You can come in. No, we all come through the same way. It's all through faith in Jesus Christ. There's no other reason. So we all stand on the same ground. There's no hierarchy. We all come to Jesus through the same way. And that means that community is very easy. No one's more important. We're all as important to God. The majority of churches, if you go and look online and read the church websites of the local churches, they will all say that they are friendly. They will all say that they're friendly. But what we don't need friendliness. Deep down, we don't need friendliness. We don't need a nice hi on the door, nice to meet you, go sit down, a lovely cup of coffee or a cake. We don't need that. What we need is friends. We don't need friendliness. We need friends. We need people who we feel close to, who we can build relationship. And this morning, we're going to look at our focus for 2019. We are looking to build more friendships and deeper relationships. I've called this morning Big Church, Little Church. And that's not because we're a little church and we're trying to be a big church. I'll explain how this works in a minute. But we're going on a system called Activate. There's a book that Nelson Searcy and Kerrick Thomas have written, and they explain that there's four spaces that you find spiritual growth. The first one is the public space. Right now, this is the public space. More than 20 people. You don't necessarily know everyone's name, but there's normally a leader or a focal point. The second space, social, 5 to 20 people, where generally you know each other's names. It's a great space for getting to know each other. And it might be that there's a facilitator who sort of focuses people, but not so much a leader. Then you've got personal space, which is less than 5 people, and you know details of each other's lives. You know a bit more. You might get together and sit round a coffee table and chat. You know quite a lot about each other. And there's no need for a leader. You don't need someone, hey, I'm the leader of this meeting round the coffee table in Costa. You don't need a leader. And finally, intimate space. 2 people, best friends, where you know each other's secrets. And of these 4 spaces, relationships cannot be engineered in 2 of them. I can't say to you, Julie, right, I want you to be intimate friends with so-and-so. It doesn't work. I can't even decide who your friends are because that doesn't work. You need to find those people who you feel comfortable with and who you feel you can trust and enjoy their friendship. So if we try and create a church program that tries to make that happen, it's never going to work. But what we can affect and what we can help is the public and social space. Big church, public, little church, social. They're the 2 we're going to look at. This is for 2019. This is our focus. This is what we're going to be looking at doing. Big church, Sunday mornings. Little church, midweek. And I want to ask you this morning, I'm not going to hold back and wait till the end. I want to ask you to commit to these 2 things this year. I want to ask you to commit to being here on Sundays, worshipping together, encouraging each other, hearing God's word, communion, sharing. Hebrews 10:25 said, let us not neglect meeting together, as some do. Can you? That was written many, many years ago, and people still do it. They neglected it back then, and they still neglect it today. Let us not neglect meeting together as some do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Secondly, so Sundays, midweek, an opportunity to grow deeper friendships and relationships with others that may in time start to inhabit your personal space and your intimate space, maybe. We don't know. You know, we could be a marriage maker. Here we go. Acts 2, verse 46 says, and day by day, attending the temple, big church, and breaking bread in their homes, little church, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Both of these elements were core to the life of the early church, and they're essential for us as we build church together. It's not one or the other. It's not, oh, I do church on Sundays. It's the two together, and this is key. If you imagine an arrowhead, this is our focus, the two halves, Sundays, midweek. And we're going to make sure that anything else that's added on to that, we keep to a minimum. So compared to what we've done last year, and probably the year before, we're going to strip off some things that are going to add drag. They're going to be added on to that. So there's a few programs that we've ran that are going to change this year. We did a lot of Connect events last year. We're not going to do that in the same way this year because we want to focus on these two things. Men United, we're going to just give that a bit of a break. We're going to focus because we want to focus on these two things. If we can be involved in these two ways in church, then we will grow more than if we do lots of little bits. So this is our focus. Some of these groups, Knit and Natter, slowly the numbers have come, and Toddle Tots have slowly reduced. So it's just felt natural that some of these groups close. But we're going to focus our energies on Sundays and midweek groups. We've got a few things to work out, and we may do some bits Sunday evenings, which will be new for us. So our prayer meeting, I think, will probably be a Sunday evening. We'll have a go with that. It can be a little bit earlier, but we need to gather together to pray. I don't want us to lose some of the things that are important, but if we have a focus in our minds, right, I've got one thing midweek and one thing Sunday, that's quite manageable for all of us. It doesn't mean that we won't have the occasional additional event. We will do that, but we're going to really streamline it so that we can have that focus and focus on growing together. Our new groups are called Activate Groups. We've got a lovely board, which was done by Sophie, which I'm very grateful for. And these are going to be different from what we have done before. These are not just home groups. We're not just, oh, we're trying to call it something slightly different. And no, these are going to be different from before. And there's three ways that they're different. Firstly, is they're going to be termly. Our minds have subconsciously been programmed to think in lines with the school terms. There's a natural rhythm to life that we all seem to experience, whether we're at school or studying or not. We seem to have these experiences. There's three events that seem to just naturally separate our year. Easter, August or summer, maybe July, depending. Some people go on a holiday even earlier than that. And Christmas. And it seems that in life, that our life's going busy and then it gets quiet. Busy and it just happens naturally. You don't think about it. You don't think, oh, now it's Easter. I've really got to relax. Your body just kind of does it anyway. So our Activate groups are going to follow this natural rhythm. At the beginning of each term, we will launch our new groups, and there'll be 4 weeks for everyone to choose a group to get into, okay? I don't want us to aim at 50% of our people. Right, 50%, we're going to get half our church into groups. No, we want everybody in a group, because this is where you're going to experience growth. This is what it means to be part of churches, community together. So we want to aim for everybody in a group. And this is how it's going to work. So it's going to be practical this morning, okay? It's going to be practical. If you don't like bar charts and stuff, there's not too many. So from today, well, from tomorrow, we're going to start filling groups, okay? Practically, this is going to mean next Sunday, there's going to be opportunity for you to sign up to a group, okay? You will be able to do it with a paper form. You will be able to do it online as well. We are up to date. We're online. Thank you, Peter, for arranging that. But what's going to happen is you're going to have a group of from about 9 to 12 weeks. You're going to meet together on a weekly basis for 9 to 12 weeks, and then that group will end, and then we'll start to think about the next group. But in reality, that will mean 9 to 12 weeks of group, 4 weeks off to do whatever you like to do, okay? And we'll be starting to think about the next groups. But I am asking for weekly commitment to the groups. Asking you to fully commit. Has anyone ever done that? Anyway, no, you'd have to do that. But that's full commitment. I mean, to do a belly flop off a cliff, that's commitment. I'm not asking you to do that. But I'm asking you to be committed, okay? I'm convinced that if we're all meeting together on a weekly basis, it will bear more fruit than doing some of the stuff that we have already done. And if you miss a week, with our current groups, if you missed a week, it would be a month before you met up with your group. Or you miss 2 weeks and it's 6 weeks. It's 2 months. And you feel like, actually, we're miles apart from each other. So this way, if you miss a week, it doesn't matter. It's only 2 weeks. Many of us are busy, okay? I've recognised that we are busy, but none of us work 168 hours. Has anyone ever done 168 hours in a week? No, it's impossible. Probably very few of us work more than 60 hours in a week. So there is time in our weeks, but it's what we put our priorities on. And I'm asking you to put a priority on this because it will be a blessing to your life and it will be a blessing to the church. It will be a blessing to the people around you. You'll be blessing yourself and blessing others at the same time, which is brilliant. Verse 20 to 21 said this. It says, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus being himself the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple. This is about growing together. We are growing together. And that's what our Activate groups are about growing together in God. Jesus may have saved us as an individual. We come before him, we repent, and we do it all on our own, but he saved us to be part of his body. Later on in Ephesians 5:25, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. It didn't say Christ loved a few individuals and hopefully they'll get together and be a church. Christ loved the church. He saved us to be part of a body. So we need this. Second thing is, it will be flexible. I can't do this. These groups are now much more flexible. The Activate groups are interest-based groups, so they will hopefully spark an interest in you, and you can sign up to the group that most interests you. Initially, we have no program spiritual activity or content. There are no Bible studies. These groups are about gathering together. They're about gathering together and building community. Discipleship and growth will happen in an ad hoc way. You may think, that's crazy. You cannot do that in church. No spirit. But you know what? Jesus, he called his disciples. He taught them at times. But sometimes they just walked along the road together. Or sometimes they ate a meal together. Jesus walked with his disciples. He did life with them. And this is about doing life together. And as we do that, as we do some art together, if that's your thing, and you chat, hey, what's happening in your life? Oh, this is what's going on. I'll pray for you. It all happens just very naturally. And next week you say, hey, what's been happening with that? It's all just natural. This is what we're looking for. It's about building community together and just being very real, okay? We're not going to be super religious. We're just having fun together. And as we do that, we're walking with God together. And we're doing it. Meal times, walking places, encountering people. This is what Jesus would have done. And I can imagine the disciples, as they got together, they would probably just share stories. Do you remember that time when we were walking along the road and Jesus... And we've not got a record of it, but they would have just enjoyed being with Jesus. I remember that time when we got up in the morning and we were all grumpy and Jesus was like, yeah, right, let's go fishing. Those small things. I want our initial groups to be open to everybody. Whether you're a Christian, whether you're not, they're open to everybody. So the interest and not having spiritual content means that the doorway is wide. It's easy for people to get in. You might know a friend. You might think, hey, I know a friend who wants to get into a book. Invite them along. So whether you're regular at church or this is your first time, you are welcome into our small groups. And the beauty of these groups is that every term, they will be different. So this term, we've got these. We'll talk about it in a minute. Okay? Some people said in the survey, hey, I'd like to do a fitness group. Okay. Peter, maybe, but not everyone wants to run in January, okay? Not everyone wants to go out and do crazy stuff like that. But I tell you what, in April, May, it's much more possible. So we can vary the things that we're doing. There'll be some groups later on that will have a spiritual input. So we might have a group that looks through a specific book of the Bible, or looks at prayer, or looks at... There's so much flexibility. But I want a word of warning here. Consumerism. Consumerism is strong in our land, okay? When we look at things, we decide, hey, This happens before you've even thought about it, particularly for my generation. You think, hey, what's that going to do for me? And then you make your decision. What am I going to get out of it? What am I going to take from it? So you may look at the groups and think, hey, I'm not sure they particularly interest me. And immediately you're tempted to say, hey, I'll wait till a group comes along that interests me. I want to say, please just get involved, okay? You can't see the benefit in something until you've walked the journey through it. And whether you feel that you're a budding artist or not, if you come along, you will have fun with others, and you might be rubbish at it, or you might suddenly discover, hey, actually, I'm quite gifted at this, and enjoy yourself. Okay, so I want to encourage us to commit, because this is about developing friendships, about developing community. It's about having fun together. Okay, the final thing is it's easy for newcomers. Okay, I could say a lot more than this, but I want to keep it to these three things. Does anyone like being new? Anyone like being new? One person likes being new. Being new is horrible, isn't it? You know, when you get your first day at work and everyone knows everybody and you sort of feel like, hey, I stand out. You might as well put a flashing light on my head. I don't feel very welcome here. I don't know what I'm doing. I've got to try and find friends and nestle into a little group that seems very close and tidy. We don't like it. And the problem with our previous groups, they were always already established. I think possibly if we'd never done anything, they would still be going when Jesus returns. You know, we'd still have these groups and people would try and sort of find their way in. But now, groups change 3 times a year. Every time we start a new group, it's new. It might have similar people, some people, but it's new, it's fresh. It's a fresh group. So whether you've just joined or whether you've been at the church many, many years, you're all coming to a new group. You're all coming to join in with a new group. And I think that's great. Paul, who wrote Ephesians, wanted the church at Ephesus to know that they were all welcome in Jesus. That's what this passage is about. He's spoken about being saved by grace, and then he speaks about, hey, you're all one in Christ. You're all together. You're joined together. And he wanted that those to know who were from ethnic Israel, who had all those promises and, oh, we're God's people. And those who were Gentiles, who had suddenly realized Jesus is the Son of God and we get to be part of it. He wanted them all to be able to be joined in to the family of God, to the church. That it was about them all coming in, whether they felt new or whether they felt old. It was about all coming together. And that's what we want to do. Whether you're new, whether you're just a believer, whether you've been at other churches and you're new here, you can be drawn straight into a group and feel part of life at Unity Church. We constantly be making it easy. We've got a nice big doorway. Nice big doorway so that anyone can find their way into the life of the church. So who's up for this? Who's up for this? I've got more details. I'm excited because I think this is one of the areas that we need to focus on as a church, is building more community together. And I think that's really key for us this year, every year probably, but I think for 2019 we really need to focus on building community together, and this is going to help us do that. So a quick recap. Groups will be interest-based, so hopefully something will spark your interest and you can say yes. There will be termly groups, and they will be open to new members. And the beauty of these groups as well, I didn't write this in there, but as I was talking, the beauty of this group is it allows new leaders to come and take leadership. Now, I won't put Norman on the spot, but I could say to Norman, hey, Norman, I know you used to do cycling. How about getting back on your bike and leading a group? I'm not going to ask you because... but it removes some of those barriers that you think, hey, if I've got to lead a Bible study, I need to know everything. No, you just need to know how to welcome people, and you're going to walk that journey together. Are there any questions? I'm going to share specifics about groups in a second, but are there any questions that you would like to ask publicly? You can ask me questions after privately if you would like to, but are there any questions?
Are there going to be daytime groups or evening groups?
Yes, there will be both.
Would there be flexibility in changing
At the minute, they are the groups we've got. I recognise with any groups that we do, and particularly with the size of church we are, we've got four groups. So there is four time slots that we can do, and it needs to work with those who are leading the groups. But by sending out a survey, which I hope some of you were able to fill out, I think it gave me an idea of when was the best availability for people. So they are the times at the minute. If they are a real problem for you, then please speak to me, and I'll see if I can do anything. If I can't do anything this term, then we'll see if we can change things for next term. Any other questions? Okay, yes. All of the groups will be within walking distance of this building. Okay? So all of the groups will be local to this building. Some a slightly longer walk, but everything will be local to here. There's nothing in Bromley. Any other questions? Okay, so let's get practical. Peter, could you start handing out the leaflets? You're all going to have one of these to take home. The information's on here, the information's on the slide, and you've got one to take away with you. And these are the different groups that we are running. The start date will be the week beginning the 10th of February. So that's when we'll start. So we have 4 weeks to get you signed up. And 4 weeks to get those who aren't here signed up. And any friends. So there'll be an art group, which will be Wednesday afternoons. And that will be run by Liz and Carol. Yay! Shall we give them a round of applause? Let's get it. And there'll be different art activities each week for you to try. Okay, you don't have to be a Picasso to be there. It's for anyone who's happy to have a go. Okay, and a lot of the art will be very accessible if you don't feel that you're well skilled. Obviously, if you are, then you can engage well with it as well. There will be a book group on Wednesday evenings by Andrew and Janet. Yay! And over the course of this group, you'll probably read through 2 books. So you read through 2 books over the course of 9 weeks. And there'll be opportunity as you come together to talk about what you've read and just to share community together. There will be a food group on Thursday evenings led by Benedine and TJ. And each week you will share food together. Sometimes it will be provided. Sometimes you'll play your part and bring some food. But that'll be about gathering together. When you share food together, conversation just flows, doesn't it? So that'll be an opportunity to enjoy that. A games group on Thursday evenings, which will be led by Sophie and Sam, who aren't here this morning, but we can still clap for them. And that will be a combination of different activities like table tennis, board games, quizzes, which will vary week in, week out. All of these groups are within walking distance. I've said 2 of the groups are here, the games group and the art group. And from next week, there will be an opportunity to start signing up. Next week, you'll be handed a paper copy, and there'll be an opportunity to sign up. We'll keep talking about this for the next 4 weeks before we get started. This is really key for us, and we want all of you. I want all of you in this room signed up, but also all those who aren't here today. We want everyone to be signed up because this is one of the ways that that we are going to grow as believers and as a church, and God will bless this. Right, next week we're going to begin our new sermon series on relationships, and we're going to start by looking at God with whom all relationship begins. We're going to start to look at him and then how that can affect our relationships in various different contexts. He's the one who created us for relationship, both with himself and with others. And I think this will work very nicely as we think about building relationships with each other over the next few months. And we're stronger when we're together. Big church, little church. I want to ask you this morning, not to just think about this, but I want to ask you if you feel that you can commit to doing midweek and Sundays this year to stand up where you are. I was standing up. Some of you, I know, might not be able to work it out, but I want to ask you, if you feel you can commit to this, stand up. Okay, and I'm going to pray for us. Father, we're so glad that you send your Son, Lord, that you are the relational God who reached out to us. And Lord, we want to pray. Lord, we read this passage in Ephesians of the church, Lord, built together, growing together, being a temple of the Spirit. And Lord, we want to be that. Lord, we want to be growing together. Lord, we want to be tightly knit together. Lord, we are called Unity Church. Lord, we want to be united together. And we want to pray, Lord, across this year, Lord, that as we look at these groups, as we commit ourselves to these things, Lord, would you build us together? Lord, we can't build ourselves together, Lord. It's about you coming and doing a work. And we want to pray that as we gather together for games, for food, for books, for art, Lord, for other things that we'll run in the year, Lord, that you would build us closer and closer together. Lord, that we would be a real community that would, again, show your love to the world around us. Lord, thank you for Norman's testimony earlier of just thank you, church, for being here. Thank you for, and we want to pray that there would be many others who experience that amazing love of a community and are drawn in and find their place and their purpose in you and with us as a people. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.